Catch the Randy Rhoad Show live weekday afternoons right here on Progressive Voices Channel from 4 to 6 Eastern.
He tweets out that Hillary's got 30,000 missing emails or 33,000 missing emails. Okay, that constitutes the asking and the intent to take something of value from Russia. And the thing of value, even if they spent 10 cents hacking, okay, that thing of value that he accepted is the crime.
Right, right. Exactly. It's basically the law of attempt. If you attempt to kill somebody, if they don't die,
that's a different
to commit murder.
Okay, that's a different kind of description of, it's another statute. We're talking about taking a thing of value from a foreign adversary. It's criminal. The hacked emails were the thing that they took from the foreign adversary. The thing that they asked for was, please find the emails. Russia took that as an acceptance of an offer. The idea that this woman came to the office offering some incriminating evidence on Hillary, whether she produced it or not, and that Junior accepted it.
Yeah.
That's the crime right there. It's a criminal violation. The statute is, we can tell you the statute. It's 11 CFR section 300.2. It's also 52 USC 3012 section A paragraph 2. I mean, it's clearly a criminal violation what happened here.
Yeah, there's clearly no doubt about it, and
just the tip of the iceberg. That only has to do with this one woman, this one meeting. Obviously, there were other meetings. There were meetings with sanctioned bankers. There were meetings with Kislyak over and over by everybody on the campaign. And obviously, this Prevezon case. Okay.
Yeah.
It had to. Now, this is speculation, and I always say when I'm speculating, but it had to have included the purchase of Trump condos.
Oh, I'm almost certain that's the case.
I am too, and I bet you it was Trump Soho and Felix Sater who was taking the money and putting it into Bayrock and buying these apartments for these Russian, people, that Sater was a cutout, okay? And they probably know all this because Sater had turned and he was, he's an informant.
Exactly. I mean, if I were Natalia, I would be very careful.
I would make a request to the United States refugee
asylum.
Yes, yeah. Asylum. I would make asylum request. That woman, if she did
needs to go to the U.S. embassy in Moscow, like pronto.
Yes, I agree. I think she's in great danger. I really do.
And I'm sure that more was discussed than either side has let on. I'm almost certain they must have discussed the WikiLeaks and how they would, use the method by which they would, distribute the hacked email.
It didn't even have to be her that was explaining that. I think probably the reason that she went was to get an understanding of whether or not this campaign was in the market for this information.
Right.
And if they were, she would, because she'd already shown good faith in protecting the condo purchases by these Russian, mobsters. She had already done her job there. So she was somebody they could trust. And she was saying, you know what? We want these sanctions lifted. And guess what? That means that we know you have to be the president. And so we want to know if you're in the market for information that's damaging to Hillary Clinton. And when Junior said, yes, I'll take the meeting, she understood they were in the market. They didn't have to talk about any other thing that day. All she was there to do was find out for sure if the Trump campaign was in the market for Russian ill-gotten gains through hacking. And once Donnie Jr. said, I love it, it's great, and included Manafort and included Jared in this meeting, they had acceptance. They had acceptance that, yes, there was that this is what the Trump campaign wanted and that they would provide it to them. And in exchange, the sanctions, I can't even say his name, poor guy, but that forensic accountant who was killed
Magnitsky.
In jail. Magnitsky, thank you.
Yeah.
Yes, that he, that those sanctions that were put in place would be lifted. And so all this time we're talking about sanctions on Russia, and everybody assumes it had to do with the invasion of Ukraine, which are part of the sanctions. We all assumed that it was this or that. No, it's the oligarchs. The oligarchs need places to launder their money, and the Magnitsky Act forbids that.
Yeah, well, I definitely see a conspiracy with Manafort, Jared, and I'm sure, Donald Trump Sr. as well as Donald Jr.,
Yes. I mean, there's no,
so apparent,
and wait, if Jeff Sessions, if it turns out that Jeff Sessions ordered, after Preet Bharara left, ordered his replacement to settle this case, or you know, God only knows what would have happened to, you know, the new guy, the guy who took Preet Bharara's place. I mean, if that comes to light, that Sessions was trading with Russia on a case like this, with money laundering, affecting an American investment firm. Oh, my God. And I'll tell you, you know, there are people that wanted to testify. You know, you had the law partner for Magnitsky is a guy named Jameson Firestone. He was going to testify at this trial. He's very upset. Charles Browder, the guy who was ripped off in the first place. And Louise Shelley, who was at George Mason University, she was going to testify. She's the person who is the illicit finance expert. All these people were prevented from giving their testimony.
Yeah, they had it all teed up and ready to go, and then all of a sudden, a few days before the trial, it was snatched away from them.
Exactly.
And, you know, I'm sure that Sessions was behind it.
Yeah.
I mean, look at how he, you know, how he helped to fire Comey.
Yeah, no question in my mind. For all things Randy, go to randyrhodes.com, but meet me here for the live show, 4 o'clock Eastern.